Thank you, Dan. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And when he said you were courageous, I didn't know whether that was because to come to listen to me speak or the snow, but yes, you are courageous this morning. And it is a pleasure to be here with people that are of like faith and like confidence in Jesus Christ. And I know that I hope each of us have that confidence within us of Christ, of our Lord and Savior, and that we're, I don't know how to describe it, satisfied is not really a good word, content and with what he's given us and the hope, the lively hope that we have in his scriptures and his words. And I hope to present something, I'm not going to say different, because it's not different. I used one of my scriptures this morning during Sunday school that I wish I hadn't have, but nevertheless, for an opening scripture, I'd like you to turn with me in the Book of Mormon, to the fourth chapter. Familiar scriptures, and I'm going to start, it's on page 710. I always like it when somebody tells me which page number it is. It's on 710, and I want to start reading at the 66th verse. And again I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God, who say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speakings with tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you that he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures, and if so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourself a God which doth vary, and in him there is shadow of changing, then you have imagined up unto yourself a God which is not a God of miracles. But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it is the same God which created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. But behold, he created Adam, and by Adam came the fall of man, and because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son. And because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man. And because of the redemption of man which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed, because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall awaken by the power of God, when the trump shall sound, and they shall stand forth, both small and great, and all stand before his bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal band of death, which death is a temporal death. And then cometh the judgments of the Holy One upon them. And then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. Now pay attention to this. And he that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. Brings a question to my mind. should bring a question to your mind. Are you happy? Are you happy in this life? What does this say here? If you are unhappy when you go and stand before that bar, you're going to remain unhappy. Does it stand to reason that the Lord wants a happy people? It does to me. It does to me. I want my kids and my grandkids and my nephews and my nieces to know that there is happiness in the Lord's gospel, in the Lord's plan, and it is a happiness for now. He expects us to be happy. And I know that there are the trials of life. I know there are physical trials that come upon you, and financial trials and so forth, and sometimes these things last a long, long time. Sometimes they last your entire life. And as I thought about this, as I think about the people that I've known in the past, and I'm not going to reflect a whole lot, maybe a little, and I thought about the people that I've known that I remember a lot, that are brought to my mind a lot. Some of them had these trials in their lives, physical trials. Some of them did not. I remember ministers. I remember ministers, and I dare say you do too, and some of their phrases when I say my lovely brothers and sisters, we all know who I'm talking about. We just do, you know. That's the. When I think of Hubert, that's what I think about. I remember Brother Ely. Always pointed. You remember that? I mean, he always pointed, and it seemed like he was always pointing at me. But who I want to remember this morning, someone I remember as an old man, mainly an old man, someone that Bick and I and Diane and my wife used to go to their house on a Wednesday night and hold cottage meetings. But I knew him long before that, and he's one of these people that was plagued almost his entire life, all of his adult life. And he had that saying that I remember when he preached, and he'd use "if you please" all the time. And those of you from the East Local probably know exactly who I'm talking about. And he would get up and with help stand behind a pulpit and lock his knees and lock his arms and preach for an hour and a half. And that was Kenneth Smith. And he was plagued with this physical problem. But you know, he was a happy, happy person. He was a happy person. I saw that happiness. And I thought about living a life like that, and yet being so happy. And what did he have? Why was he happy? He had that confidence in Christ, not in himself. He was a man like you and I, or a woman with the problems. But what he knew of a surety, and he felt it, and I look out here and I see all my brothers and sisters that have the same feeling. He knew that his heart was turned to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ chose him and he turned his heart to Christ. I look out, have you not turned your heart to Jesus Christ? Has he not called you And you said, yes, I'm going to follow him. Well, why wouldn't you be happy in that? In that knowledge. Because if your heart is turned to Jesus Christ, he knows it. He doesn't have to guess. He doesn't have to look at your actions necessarily. But he knows if your heart is turned to him. He knows the heart. He knows what you want to do. Sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes you don't do it. But he knows what I want to do. And he understands. He understands my temptations. Praise God for Jesus Christ. He understands. And he has compassion for me when I slip up. Why? Because he knows what I want to do. What I really, really want to do. And what you want to do. I want to turn to 1 John, the third chapter. Kind of points this out, starting with the 16th verse. 1 John, third chapter, starting 16th verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods, and seeth his brother has need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And we know this well. We read this a lot. We have this underlined and cross-referenced. I'll read on. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Do you read that scripture and understand it? We are not a perfect people. I am not a perfect person. And I tend to sin. I tend often to sin. And you do too. I would say that some, I'm not going to say most, but I'm going to say some have the same difficulties that I have. And I sin and I slip. And my mind is not always set on the right thing. But you know, I want to do it. In my heart, I want to do it. And the Lord knows that. And I'm not even telling you that this might happen for short periods of time. You may have this difficulty for a long period of your life. You may have things that are wrong in your life for a long period of time that you're dealing with that are not right. And still have your heart turn to Jesus, to Christ. Yes, it happens. And it probably will happen. But in those same periods of time, that long period of time, from time to time when I'm there, I still feel that spirit wanting me. And warning me and leading me back. That spirit that he gave me so long ago has never really left me. Though I've drifted and you've drifted, that spirit has not left me. I want to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. You guys can quote this probably, but I'll turn. And I want you to believe this. I mean, when I read this 38th and 39th chapter, do you really believe it? Or do you believe that, well, maybe because of my weaknesses, maybe, you know, I can draw myself away from this spirit and away from this love. I don't think so. I don't think so. And it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us or separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that just so many words? I believe that. I believe that and you believe that. But we always think. We always, or at least I do. Man, my youngest son was here. He would tell me, don't make those assumptions. Don't do that. I do. I sometimes think that I am unworthy. That because of the things that I do and the things that I continue to do in my life that I struggle with, that I'm going to separate myself from the love of Christ. I don't think so. Because why? He really knows my heart. He knows the desires of my heart. My desire is to not do that. It's to be close to Him. That spirit of his, I'm just going to speak for myself. I underestimate the power of that spirit and the power of the love of Jesus Christ. I do. I most certainly do. And I start judging myself and my thoughts, and I say, how can then the Lord love this man with those kind of thoughts and deeds or lack of deeds that I do. But he does. But he does. And he always will. I'm going to turn page 92. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read it. This is so poetic. Starting at verse 30. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous work, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which does so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God has been my support. He has led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He has preserved me in the waters of the great deep. He has filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. It's still there, isn't it? This is the temptations that Nephi has, the doubts that he has in his mind, yet he knows what? That the love of Jesus Christ is still within him, because his heart is turned to him. Verse 40. And upon the wings of his spirit has my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. You think that man is happy? You better believe that man is happy, even in his own weaknesses. And he had... He has the same problems I have, and he's a happy person. You are going to, I am going to mess up, okay? We are going to mess up. And I'll get carried away, and you'll get carried away in this world from time to time. And you know, I hate cliches. You know, I really do, you know, the temptations of this world. But that's what they are. And I will be drawn away, and you will be drawn away for a period of time. It's going to happen. You and I, during a short period of time, long period of time, are going to go look for happiness elsewhere. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I am assured that one of two things is going to happen when I do that. I know it. Why do I know it? Because of what's written in the 8th chapter of Romans. That none of this can separate me from the love of Christ. None of it. And I want to turn to the first thing that's going to, might happen. Not one or two things going to happen when you do this. If your heart is really belongs to Christ. I want to turn to Luke. And I'm going to turn to the 15th chapter. I'm going to read 14 through 20. And you know this parable. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. This man, just like me, from time to time, went to find happiness someplace else. He began to be in want, and he joined himself to a citizen of the country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And when he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and what happened? Did his father make him as one of his hired servants? And when he was a ways off, a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's one thing that will happen. And if that doesn't happen, if I don't come to my senses and turn around, guess what else is going to happen? There's another thing that the Lord will cause to happen, just as he caused this. And I want you to turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Starting with the 11th verse. If you don't come to your senses, this is what's going to happen. Because why? Because you're his. Because you are his. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go unto the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The Lord's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. We're not in want. We will not be in want. One or two things. You're either going to come to your senses or he's going to come and get you. And if it's not the Lord, it's going to be one or two of your brothers or your sisters that are going to come and get you and draw you back into the fold. I know that's true. You know it's true. He tells us how to be happy. He expects us to be happy. He tells us exactly how to be happy in this, not waiting for happiness and joy when we're resurrected, but now. And that scripture is pretty plain. It's not pretty plain. It's straight out plain. That he expects you, before you go to meet him, to be a happy person in this life. And whatever is dealt you, to be happy. And he tells you how to do it. He tells you how to do it. I'm going to turn to the 13th chapter of John. Read what I read in Sunday school. This is the truth. Jesus doesn't lie. He doesn't stretch the truth. He doesn't leave anything out. When this is written, and these are in red letters, you better believe it's true. And he says, and so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, you know what I've done to you? Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Now you know that preceding this, you don't even have to be a Bible scholar to know that preceding this, these same disciples were arguing who was going to be the greatest in heaven. They're thinking about happiness. They're thinking about what they perceive as happiness, okay? And to them, it's who's the greatest. And so this is the lesson. After the Lord had set him down, pulled off his cloak or whatever, I don't remember what he pulled off, but he washed their feet, he dried them off, and he says, you know what I've done to you? And he says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, what? What's it say? He says, happy. Happy are ye if you do them. It's the way to happiness. It's the way to happiness. And it begins with the knowledge and that you are the Lord's, that he has called you and you are his. And you need to have that confidence, not worry about it. Not to be thinking, oh, am I good enough? Yes, you are good enough. Yes, you are good enough. And he knows what you want to do. There are people in the restoration, I trust not here, there are people in the restoration that are worried about their soul. That have accepted Jesus Christ and are worried about their soul. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. They're being taught something wrong. How can you be happy? How in the world can you be happy if there's fear in your heart and concern in your heart? You read that first chapter of Colossians about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He created all things, and everything was created for Him, including you. And He called you, and you gave Him your heart, and He knows your heart. And He died on the cross. Are you gonna lessen that and think and doubt? Let fear enter in? I don't want my kids, my grandkids, my nieces, my nephews, my sister-in-laws, my brother-in-laws to have that worry. And I'm not, this is not, once you're saved, you're always saved. Because I don't believe that, and neither do you. I can do that in pardonable sin. I can do that. I can do that. But I'm not going to. And neither are you. You're not going to get rid of that spirit, that holy. I know you're not. I know you're not. You're not going to make that conscious decision to do that. And if you're not going to do that, guess what? The Lord will save you. The Lord has saved you. I want to turn to John 15 for my last scripture. You know, along with that first Colossians, that first chapter, as we read about the majesty of Jesus Christ and all the things that He is, and all the things that everything that was created was by Him and for Him. Everything. But along with that, it shows and tells us just how personal He is also. And I think this comes to that I hope, what I wanted it to do, comes as I read it, brings you that closeness also to Jesus Christ and the knowledge that He is not going to leave you. Starting at the ninth verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Whoa. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. He called me. I'm one of his followers. I am his friend, just like Abraham was his friend. I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. Can you think anything better in this world to be a friend of Jesus, the one who all things were created by and for, and he's my friend? Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I carry that spirit. You carry his spirit with you. And he has made everything known to you that is important. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. It's the truth. This is the truth. The scriptures tell us to be bold for Christ. And there's the only way we can be bold in this world is have that assurance that we are his. And I want to confirm in your hearts and in your minds and in your souls that you're his. Nobody can take that away from you. Thank you.